Welcome to Rhema for Today.
See, your spirit knows things your head don't know. Because your spirit's got the nature of God in it, got the life of God in it, got the Holy Spirit in it. And it was my spirit telling me. Did you notice that verse said, see, I got my mind on the elders and on the oil. Did you might notice that voice said, the prayer of faith shall save, that scripture said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick? I had to look at it again, read it to be sure that's what it said.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin wraps up his teaching, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God series, Volume 1, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
That's the reason Paul said, my spirit's alive unto God. It was alive unto God. Sin, the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. Oh, this is more scripture than I know. Remember what Moses said? It's about it. Just blot their name. Blot my name out of your book if you're going to blot them out. I know children of unsaved parents. Never took those children a day in their life to Sunday school or church. Never prayed a prayer with those children. These children hadn't reached the age of accountability. I'm thinking a little child now just 9 years old. Somebody said that this little child, whose parents didn't take them to Sunday school church, never read the Bible to them, never prayed with them, is going to do something. Said, on Monday we'll do so-and-so. This little nine-year-old child said, no, we won't. I won't. Why? God said, I'm going to be up there with Jesus. How'd that little child know that? And he was. When Monday came, he was up there with Jesus. He didn't go with them on the little outing that was going on. His parents weren't Christians. He didn't know anything about church. He didn't know anything well about the Bible. I don't suppose. They never read the Bible in the home. They never had family prayer. They never even prayed at the table and asked a blessing on it. And yet that little nine-year-old boy said, I'll be up there with Jesus. Somebody came along and then said, well, he can't be. He said, you know, he'd never been converted, never been baptized in water, and he didn't belong to our church. But he said he would, and he was. How did he know his spirit was alive to God? That's the reason he knew. I said his spirit was alive to God. That's the reason he knew. I was preaching a certain place, preaching a convention for the Four Square folks, Denver, several years ago. I got off on some of these things, and a young lady, a young minister lady came. She said, Brother Hagin, I want to talk to you. So at the cafeteria time, we were eating. We talked there with the district supervisor of the Four Square Church and so on. And she said, I'm beginning to see something. She said, you know, my husband was killed just 29 years old in an airplane accident. I said, yes, I knew about that. Heard about it at least. She said, see, we got out of LIFE Bible College there in California. See, and then we went to a town where they didn't have a full gospel church of any kind and built a new work. Had a good work going. Just did a phenomenal job, really. Good ministers. Both of them were ministers. And his roommate in college, you see, before they married about the time they got out of college. Now they got two little children, little boy five, little girl three. Actually, the boy's between four and five. He's not five yet. The girl's approximately three. So this roommate of his in LIFE Bible College had been, he'd been in a plane crash and he was killed. And they wanted his roommate, you see, to preach his funeral. So in their little town in Nebraska, somebody had a private plane and said, we'll fly you over there. And so they got up early in the morning. Well, the children were asleep. She said, I didn't want to leave them home in bed. So I just took them in their pajamas, put them in the back seat of the car, and we drove out to the little airport. And you know, my husband, 29 years old now, kissed me goodbye, kissed the children, got on that plane, took off down the runway. She said, as that plane took off, that little five-year-old boy, approximately between four and five, rose up in the back seat and said, Mama, Mama, Daddy's not on that plane, is he? Yeah, honey, don't you know he was going to call this roommate, he wasn't no kin, but he said, he's going to preach Uncle So-and-so's funeral. Why, he said, don't he know that airplane's going to run into that mountain? Hadn't got the word out of his mouth until it hit the mountain because of the fog and he's killed. How'd that little kid know that? Because his spirit's alive unto God. Are you listening to me? I said his spirit was alive unto God. That's how I knew it. Well, how come the preacher didn't know it though? Wasn't his spirit alive to God? Hadn't it been born again? Yeah. But his head had been educated at the expense of his spirit. And he didn't know to listen to his spirit. And he didn't take time to listen to his spirit. is it that women, in days gone by, more so than today, so many women work in public today, it's not so much so. Why is it that women, do you ever notice that they have more intuition than men do? Intuition is of your spirit. Because women lived a more secluded life. They didn't work so much with their minds, didn't work so much with their bodies, and they were more quiet. You see, you have to have times of quietness to get your mind and your body quiet, because God is not your mind and your body's going to know things, it's your spirit. And don't just throw everything away, I've said, just because you don't agree with it. Keep chewing on it for a while. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, the first and foremost way that he leads is by that inward witness. Secondly, by that inward voice, which most usually is the voice of your own spirit speaking to you. I can remember in my own experience, I was brought up in church, as I said. Don't remember the first time I went. Joined the church as 9 years old, but wasn't saved. On the bed of sickness, I realized I've never been saved. I just belonged to the church. Tell the real truth about it, I died and went to hell. And I began to cry out as I went down the third time, God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water. But there's no answer. And as I came up the third time out of that pit and out of hell, my spirit began to pray. And I was born again, 20 minutes to 8 o'clock, in the south bedroom of 409 North College Street in the city of McKinney, Texas. April the 22nd, Saturday night, 20 minutes to 8 o'clock. Well, I thought I had to die. Doctor said I had to die. I'd never heard divine healing preached. Didn't know anything about faith. So I was resigned to die. Every night I'd go to sleep with a smile on my face and praise myself to sleep. Said, Lord, they're liable to, because what the doctor said to me, I may just die any minute. My heart may stop just any moment. So if they find me in the bed, morning, dead, they'll see I got a smile on my face. They'll know I died happy. I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't go to hell. That's something to be glad of. Hallelujah. So, I read the Bible, the New Testament. I got over to Mark 11. I read Mark 11, 23 and 24, you know. And then, of course, I'm bothered with this. Well, healing's been done away with. Healing's been done away with. It's not for us nowadays. Something said to my mind, there's always a voice out here somewhere that said, now that doesn't mean what things ever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. That doesn't mean what things ever you desire physically, because healing's been done away with, or materially, or financially. That just means what things ever you desire spiritually. Well, I tried to get my pastor to come, and he didn't, and you've heard some of the testimony, and finally one preacher did come and pat my hand, put on his professional voice, and said, just be patient, my boy. In a few more days, it'll all be over. So I accepted the verdict, in a few more days it'll all be over. Laid there waiting to die. Then I got back into the Bible after 2 months. I didn't look at it, didn't read a scripture for 2 months. Didn't praise myself to sleep every night. But then November of 1933, I got back into the Bible again. I got it back open to Mark 11, 24 again, 23. And I said, well, Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've tried to get somebody to help me. I'm just going to take you at your word. When you were here on earth, you said it, and I'm going to believe it. And if you didn't lie about it, I'm coming off of this bed. And if I don't get off of this bed, it'll be because you lied about it. Because I can believe what you said I can believe. Then I hit on this idea. Because I'd regained some use of my body, it'd take me a long time to turn pages. I couldn't turn them like that, but I couldn't put my hand there. Sort of scoot the page over. I'll run my reference. I don't have time to read through the New Testament. It's too difficult for me to read. I'll run my reference on faith and healing. And running my references on faith and healing, I came to James 5:14, that said, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anoint them in the name of the Lord, and prayer of faith to save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. If they have committed sins, it shall be forgiven them. Well, In my ignorance, I thought that all the rest of the healing scriptures and prayer promises hinged on that when it comes to healing, you see. I thought you had to call for the elders of the church. You don't have to, you just can if you need to. So I remember I began to cry. I said, dear Lord, if I've got a call for the elders of the church, I know with all to be healed, and I can't be healed. Because I don't know any elders of the church that believe in that. And I don't know any preachers. I don't know any deacons. I don't know any Sunday school teachers. Or don't know any Christians that anoint with oil or believe anything like that. And if I've got a call for them, I can't be healed. Now, I had the witness in here that I say, I knew I was saved. I've got that inward witness, but I'd been saved 6 months, bedfast 6 months, I'd never heard an inward voice. No, I'm not talking about the voice of the Spirit of God that's more authoritative. That inward something, I suppose I would have if I'd have been out, you see, up and about. Well, that inward voice, that still small voice, that voice of my spirit, my conscience would have told me not to do certain things if my body wanted to do it. But I'm bedfast, so I had little or no experience here. But there was a voice in here spoken on the inside of me. Just a still small voice that said, now how come my spirit? See, your spirit knows things your head don't know. Because your spirit's got the nature of God in it. It's got the life of God in it. Got the Holy Spirit in it. And it was my spirit telling me. Did you notice that verse said, see, I got my mind on the elders and on the oil. Did you notice that voice said, that scripture said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick? I had to look at it again, read it to be sure that's what it said. I looked at it again and said, yeah, that's what that says. Yeah, that's what it says. Just came as a real shock to me, you know. I didn't notice that. Yeah, it said the prayer of faith to save the sick. And then on the inside of me, these words were spoken. I heard them in here. You can pray that prayer as well as anybody can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, now my spiritual education was slow just like yours. I had no teacher. It's difficult to follow an unseen teacher. It's difficult if you haven't been taught. Afterwards, I saw if I'd have followed what this unseen teacher, see, he'll teach you, the Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll guide you. If I'd have followed him and followed this inward something, I'd have been out of bed long before it was. But I didn't know to do it. I stayed there 9 more months. It was while I was praying, saying, I believe that I receive my healing. I saw that's what I must do. I believe I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's 3-CD set entitled Jesus is Coming Again. Next is Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book entitled The Table That Speaks. Last but not least is Lynette Hagin's book, Hey God, Why Is It Taking So Long? All these items are for the special price of only $40. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Rhema Bible Training College, we're enrolling for the fall of 2026. And so you can go online and do that, or you can also come to our Rhema College weekend. That's April the 10th through the 12th. Right here on the Rhema USA campus, you'll attend classes, meet the dean and some other instructors, tour the campus,
yes,
a luncheon, worship night, job and housing, fun night, and of course, end the weekend by attending Rhema Bible Church there on Sunday morning. It's a wonderful weekend, and so we just invite you and encourage you to come and find out all about Rhema Bible
College. Go to rbtc.org and find out about it.
Monday, Kenneth Hagin will start a new and powerful teaching. That's next week on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Have a great weekend.